Welcome to Torah Simecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbrenner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu Perek Nun Hei, Chapter 55. We have been told repeatedly that the redemption will come no matter what. But the ideal way for redemption to come is for us to bring it through our repentance and good deeds. So after the promises of the last chapters, Yeshayahu tells us how. Hoi kol tzameh l'chu l'mayim. All who are thirsty come for water. Va'asher ein lo kasef l'chu shivru ve'echelu. Even if you have no money, come, buy food and eat. Ulechu shivru b'lo chasef uvelo mechir yayin v'chalav. Buy food without money, wine and milk without cost. Water is a metaphor for Torah for two reasons. One, they are both the source of life. And two, because one who is bereft of either thirsts for it. So the prophet tells us, go and get water. Go and pursue Torah. And for this pursuit, one need not have money. The purchase price for Torah is desire and discipline, which we can all achieve through hard work. Wine and milk are also metaphors for Torah as sources of gladness and nourishment. And even for these supplemental aspects, there is no monetary price attached. All that is required is for you to seek it. Lama sishkulu chesef below lechem. Why do you spend money for no bread? V'giachem below nisava. Your effort for what does not satisfy. Shimu shamoa elai v'ichlu tov v'sis aneg b'adesha nafshechem. Give heed to me, and you will eat well, and you will delight in richness. Instead, you are spending money, which I don't require, and putting in so much effort to false endeavors that will not satisfy you. Why do you weary yourself with these things which will nourish neither your body nor your soul? It is so common that people feel they are missing something. They are searching, even in a spiritual sense. What they really need is available and free. They just need to be willing to put in the effort. Instead, they put time and effort and money into empty promises and false endeavors that they hope will fill them up, but it is for naught. Hashem laments, if you would only listen to me and pursue Torah, you would eat well in the physical sense and your soul will also delight in richness. The Torah nourishes the soul just as food nourishes the body. Hatu az nechem ulechu elai, incline your ear and come to me. Shimu uschi nafshechem, listen and your soul will come alive. This is so simple, but so deep and true for anyone who has put in the effort to learn Torah. You may not know what you are missing if you don't put in the effort and immerse yourself. And you must search for it at least by being willing to listen, to incline your ear, as the verse says. But if you do, it will revive your soul. And I will make you an everlasting covenant, the loyal kindness of David. If you do all these things, the time will come that it will not be hard anymore. Like we said at the beginning of the chapter, you will be ready for me to bring the covenant of David with his descendant, the Mashiach. You will call other nations, and they will come running to serve God and learn his Torah, a fitting reward for our own pursuit and dedication to same. After counseling us to pursue Torah, the Navi speaks about repentance, tshuva, the other basic element that Jews need to bring Mashiach. This is the beginning of the Haftarah read on a public fast day, a time that we are called upon to do tshuva. Dirshu Hashem b'hi mato, seek Hashem while he can be found, kera'u b'yoso karov, call to him while he is near. Of course, Hashem is only available, but he makes himself more available to those who seek him and desire to come close to him. The sages say that this refers to the 10 days of repentance between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Because Hashem judges us then, he eases our path to repentance so that he can give us a good judgment. Ya'azov rasha darko, v'ish aven machshavo sav. Let the wicked give up his ways, the sinful man his plans. V'yashov el Hashem v'yirachamehu. Let him turn back to Hashem, and Hashem will have mercy on him. Ve'el Elokeinu ke'arbeli sloach, to our God, for he abundantly forgives. Interestingly, the Nevi specifically instructs the wicked to mend his thoughts. It is not enough to change one's ways. One must also direct one's thoughts properly. Some thoughts are actually transgressions in and of themselves. But even when that is not the case, if a person does not purify his thoughts, he will surely return to his past actions. And here the prophet gives us unique encouragement as to why we should do tshuva. Ki lo machshavotzai machshavoseichem. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. V'lo darcheichem drachai ne'um Hashem. Nor are my ways your ways, says Hashem. To someone with a human frame of reference, repentance is possible, but limited. It is unnatural for a person who sinned to be able to completely erase what he has done. But indeed, that is the miracle of repentance, which is so different from regular human expectation. Teshuvah involves confession. In the human realm, one is punished after confessing. That is not the way of God. Not only will he not punish us, but there will be no grudge. Actually, our relationship will be closer than ever. These are things we can only accept if we understand that God's thoughts and ways are qualitatively different than ours. Ki gavhu shamayim me'aretz, as the heavens are higher than the earth, ki gavhu drachai midarcheichem u'machshavotai mimachshavoteichem. So are my ways high above your ways, and my plans high above your plans. Do not limit yourselves because you falsely limit me. We often feel confined by our own feelings of guilt and distance. But when it comes to Hashem, your return is not constrained by human limitations. He will forgive us, and he will be close to us. Ki, ka'asher yirid ha'geshem v'hashelag min ha'shamayim, for as the rain and snow drops from heaven, v'shama lo yashuv, ki im hirva es ha'aretz v'holida v'hitzmicha, v'nasan zera lezoreya v'lechem le'echol, and does not return unless it has quenched the land and has caused it to produce and sprout, and give seed to the planter and bread to eat. So is the word that issues from my mouth. Lo yashuv elei reikam. It will not come back to me empty. Ki im asa es asher chafatzi v'hitzliach es asher shalachtiv. But it does what I desire and achieves what I sent it for. Here the Navi gives us an application of Hashem's approach to us and to repentance that is so different than that of a human being. The rain and the snow here are the words of prophets, nourishment sent from heaven. Rain and snow irrigate the land. This obviously works much better if the land was prepared for their fall, but even if not, the moisture is still nourishing. The same is true for the words of the prophets. If you will but listen to the words of the prophets, all the conditional promises will come true. But even if you don't, these messages from Hashem will seep in, and eventually all the promises will be fulfilled. This is again another difference between us and Hashem. The words of Hashem are absolute. It is not like a human being that hopefully tries to fulfill his word or mission, and sometimes succeeds, but sometimes returns empty-handed. Hashem's words are absolute, and all the promises of return will happen. Even if, God forbid, we do not fulfill the conditions, Hashem's words come true always. The Malbim explains this verse in a bit of a different way, but has the same message as the difference between us and Hashem. According to the Malbim, there are two kinds of messengers. One, who is acting for the good of the sender, and one, who is acting for the good of the receiver. If the messenger is acting for the good of the sender, he will come back with his hands full. For example, by purchasing or trading an object. But if he is going back for the good of the receiver, if he is successful, he will come back empty-handed, like in a case where he is bringing something as a gift or charity. Malbim reads this verse as follows, Keni yedvarai asher yitze mipi. So too with my words, meaning prophecy, that come out of my mouth. Lo yashuv elei reikam, they will not come back to me empty, unless they have done what I wanted and succeeded in what I sent them for. So according to the Malbim, coming back empty-handed is the ideal. Hashem wants his words to come back empty-handed because he is sending them for us and not for him. This really is the perfect addendum to this section encouraging us to do tshuva. The ultimate characteristic of God is that he does what he does for us. He doesn't get anything out of it. He wants us to do tshuva so he can reward us and we can be close to him. Grudge holding and pettiness are unnecessary considerations. When we recognize this and it inspires us to do tshuva, then verse 12, Ki v'simcha seitzeu uv'shalom tuvalun, you shall leave your places of exile in joy and be brought to your land in peace. Before you, mountain and hill will shout aloud, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The world will be filled with audible joy. Tachas ha'na'atzutz ya'alev rosh. Instead of the briar, a bush filled with thorns, a cypress will rise. V'sachas ha'sirpad ya'ale hadas. And instead of a nettle, a myrtle will rise. V'ha'yala Hashem l'shem la'os olam lo yikares. And they will be for Hashem a sign, forever, that will never be broken. The land itself will bloom, as we have been so fortunate to begin to see in our times, with plants that represent the tranquility and perfection of redemption. And both the land and the covenant between the righteous and Hashem will be forever, never to be broken. Thank you for learning Le'ilui Nishmas Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.